every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
What's up, everybody? No, we are not surrounded by assholes tonight. Monday night, you know, what is this, like the second time in a month we had Miz and Maryse closing out a Raw. First, yeah. It was renewing the vows. Now it's the birthday, you know, but hey, it is the go-home Raw into the Royal Rumble. Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night. January 24th, 2022. This is Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony, and he is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, everyone? Hope you guys are doing well tonight.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It's all right, man. Busy. You know, a lot of changes and stuff like that. But besides all that, getting dumped on with all the snow, you know, I'm sure you know you're dumped on too. So
yeah. But hey, you know, promising signs with COVID. Little controversy is going to come out in a day or two. And I don't want to say anything else, but major controversy.
Really? What do you mean by major controversy?
Well, we'll get right into, because tonight we're really just talking about three topics tonight. Raw, Ronda Rousey, Royal Rumble. That's actually five R's. Raw, Ronda Rousey, Royal Rumble.
And Rona.
The CDC came out with a study, the first study that since COVID started. They took cases from California and from New York. And what they have found, drum roll please, a lot of you are going to want to know this. They found that if you had COVID, you do not benefit from getting the vaccine. That people who previously had COVID had enough protection compared to people who were not ever diagnosed with COVID but were vaccinated. So basically, when you can't go to a wrestling event, when you can't go to a restaurant, when you can't go to certain places unless you show proof of vaccination, now it's coming out that anybody who had COVID, their antibodies protect them equally as someone who is vaccinated. So this is going to cause major shit in New York, because there's so many things people cannot do without a proof of vaccination card. They're not going to be able to force people to get vaccinated anymore. If you have had COVID, they're probably going to have to come up with a card that shows proof that you have antibodies present. Maybe the card has to be dated within 3 months or whatever it is, but I'm telling you all, you know, I know we focus mostly on wrestling on these shows, but since February of 2020, we've gone out of our way to really just research, learn, pay attention, and watch. And this is a major deal. It's about to go down.
Wow, Jesus, dude. Yeah, that's kind of a wild proclamation. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is that if you've had COVID at any point in the last, you know, obviously couple of years, it doesn't matter if you get vaccinated or not? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I will email you, and you know what? I will post it in the community section on YouTube. I will post you the graphs. And when you see it, all the way in the bottom, people who had COVID and you see people who are vaccinated, they're like right next to each other. It's crazy. It's going to be a giant. Right next and to- politicians are going to hide it. They're going to try to downplay it and hide it. It's a major story. You all watch.
Wow, dude. That's wild, man.
Yeah? Huh. Yeah, Rothman, I have not checked emails yet this weekend. Tomorrow is a little bit of an easier day, so tomorrow I will be checking on emails. Anyway, before we talk about Raw tonight, and this is not myself and Mish telling everybody we told you so, but, you know, with all due respect, you could go into our channel and just type in the name Ronda Rousey. 4 episodes over the last month, Mish, myself, and all of you had conversations about Ronda Rousey in the Royal Rumble. Back, I think it was December 12th, I had told you that I exchanged DMs with someone who I trust, that actually works within WWE, and said, you know, WWE is really making a play for Ronda Rousey in the Royal Rumble. And now it's come out that Ronda Rousey, Fightful reported it, Meltzer Alvarez reported it. So with all due respect, on our show, this is old news. We will talk about it, though, because now you have confirmation from the real journalists. I'm not a real journalist. So the fact that we're getting it from the real journalists, now we could start really, really focusing on it. Now, when we do Royal Rumble predictions later on, I will give my scenario of what will happen with Ronda Rousey in the Royal Rumble, in Saudi Arabia for the Elimination Chamber, and WrestleMania. So what are your thoughts about, you know, it looks like it's happening.
They need it. They need her, honestly. I mean, if you've been following her social media, you can only play video games on Facebook for so long, especially when you're Ronda Rousey. I always kind of thought it was a little bit funny. I mean, I get it. I mean, everybody needs some downtime, but it's been long enough. You know, she needs to return to the ring. And, gosh, I'm kind of glad that she's coming back because, let's be honest, at least Ronda Rousey drew the ire of fans. At least she drew some sort of interest. Whether you loved her or hate her, people were happy to talk about her one way or another. And considering a lot of the talent that's been surrounding the women's division lately, it seems to be thinning out. And so having somebody like Ronda back in there might do a good boost for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
You know, especially when people start thinking Summer Rae's a legend. So,
yeah, well, that's WWE for you. But I'm psyched. I mean, we talked about it even yesterday. I mean, it started with she's going to be back in WWE in 2022. That originally was a prediction. Then we started getting some, you know, substantial information on that. And look, when you see the number of people who are released, whether people like it or they despise it or they'll never forgive WWE for it, you know, when you realize that when you got, you know, it's like, I'm trying to think would be the right way to put it. It's like you're in a war. I'm not talking about with AEW. I'm just saying you're in a war. You're playing Battleship or you're in a war, whatever it is, and you have your army. And you have an army of 150. And, you know, it's a lot of the army is just like filler. They're not really great soldiers, but they're there, they're bodies. I hate to say it like that, but they're bodies. Then you basically get rid of a half of your army, and then you replace them with Navy SEALs. A dozen Navy SEALs. I mean, you hear about that guy, what, Chris Kyle, you know, the that member of our military who died like 9 years ago. You know, you fill your army with Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Ronda Rousey, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and you just, and you, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, you know, Bayley's coming back, Bianca Belair. You go down the list, that's all you need. Probably for the next 6 to 9 months. That's really all you need. I'm pumped, man.
Yeah.
I am pumped.
No, it's a good idea. I mean, this is what the road to WrestleMania is. It's about stacking the deck. It's always been about stacking the deck. So if this is WWE's way of starting to stack the deck and hopefully, you know, build up to a good WrestleMania, because look, I don't know about you. I don't know about other people, but I'm sure there's a lot that may have felt cheated with last year's WrestleMania or the year before. You know, it's time for WWE to start giving us the goods, start giving us a great show.
Well, I will say this. I don't want to jump ahead and start getting into Royal Rumble stuff, but I will say this now to lead into later on. For Bianca Belair fans that are nervous about Ronda Rousey returning, in my opinion, do not worry. Do not worry. I promise you, you wait about a half an hour. Let's just burn through Raw. And then when we get into Royal Rumble, we start getting into scenarios, you will realize very quickly, do not worry about Bianca Belair. She will have some very, very important moments between now and WrestleMania. We'll talk about it later. So, Monday Night Raw tonight. Yeah, well, as we said at the very beginning of the show, it was once again, it's about Miz and Maryse closing out Raw. We had the renewing of the vows a couple of weeks ago. That was right before day one. So this is two pay-per-views in a row that they do the go-home show for Raw with a non-wrestling segment with Miz, Maryse, Edge, and Beth Phoenix. I felt bad for some of those indie workers that were playing security guards tonight because they got their ass kicked from Beth Phoenix and Edge, but we did not get the Toni Storm moment. We did not get Maryse with cake all over her face. But I know we're jumping ahead, but what did you think about the whole wedding segment? Because I actually thought it was okay.
It was fine. It was another corny segment involving all of them. It was fine. It wasn't supposed to be special. I don't know what people wanted. It's Miz and Maryse. They go out there. They mock the crowd. They have a good time being the heels, and Edge and Beth coming out to be the champion heroic baby faces. I mean, it was kind of a cut and dry bit. It's not like we haven't seen this a dozen times before, although I did enjoy the fake out box hiding a brick moment. Because I was like, they're doing the straight out, look, it's a large box. Wonder who's in the box. What do you mean that's not a present for me?
Can I be honest?
It's almost like, in a weird way, if you're a wrestling fan and you've been a wrestling fan for a long time, they're making fun of wrestling.
Yes, like Mr. McMahon.
Right. They're making jokes about what you already know is supposed to happen. And for the kids or people that are unfamiliar with wrestling or just been living under a rock for years, no pun intended, it's something that it's like maybe they don't get it, but at the same time, it's a new angle for them, whatever. Yeah. But I think a lot of the time, Miz and Maryse they're just caricatures. They're making fun of themselves. They're making fun of the business. And I don't mean like in a evil Vince Russo versus Jim Cornette kind of way. I just, you know what I mean? Like they're just poking fun.
Parody of themselves.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to find anybody that can take offense to the Miz and Maryse characters, you know?
Yeah. I will admit, when they opened the box and they showed that table with the brick sitting on top of it, I kept looking at the table and I kept saying to myself, you think Beth Phoenix could fit under that table? Like, I thought, I'm not saying that I really expected somebody to crawl out from under that table. I think that would have been a shockmaster moment, especially when you crouch down like that. But
I actually thought for a second there when I was just seeing the guys from the back, I'm like, is one of those Edge with a wig on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
they didn't have the riot gear on where they covered the face and everything. Right. Usually whenever you see a security segment, whether it's WWE, AEW or anything else, when they're wearing like helmets and masks, that they're usually covering somebody.
Yeah.
It was a fun segment. You know, going into Royal Rumble, you know, this is going to be a Gaga match, and it's not meant. Yeah, I mean, Edge and Miz will, you know, pretty much duplicate what they did in day one, and you'll have some comedy fodder with Beth Phoenix and Maryse. And I think we know what we're getting with that match, and so what? You know what I mean? It's supposed to be fun sometimes. Not everything needs to be ranked 4 and 5 stars, you know? So, I'll tell you something else. I know we have always sung the praise for Piper Niven. And, you know, she is uber talented in the ring. I never really realized how deep her accent is till I hear her get an extended speaking segment on WWE television. And, you know, recently, you know, like, I can't make out, like, a lot of what she's saying, but I got to be honest with you. I thought tonight, her and Becky Lynch, I thought, did a great job setting up this match for the Royal Rumble. I mean, I know in my, you know, my thoughts who's winning it. I don't think there's any doubt who's winning it. But, you know, I think Piper did an awesome job in this, Doudrop. My only question is, Doudrop is a heel. And who are we supposed to root for? You know what I mean? Right. Like, because Becky is a heel. And, you know, I don't, Doudrop, you know, a lot of what she was saying tonight, it's like, you know, if I was a fan, I would not want to root for Doudrop.
I mean, they're both heels. I think at this point, it's pretty much, I think they want you to root for Becky anyways. I think they want Becky to come off as the cool heel, almost in a rock kind of way. They want her to seem larger than life. I mean, she's wearing a disco ball for fucking clothes, you know? I mean, this, they want Becky to be the larger than life character that can be a baby face or a heel, and everybody's going to cheer because she's just the coolest kid at the birthday party. But at the same time, it's like if you're watching, you want Doudrop to win. You want Piper Niven to win. She has a lot of talent. She deserves a shot in the sun. And you know what? Maybe it'll get rid of the silliness of her name once she establishes herself as a champion. But I'm kind of with you. I think it's going to be the Becky show still for a while. You know, when she says things like, I've held the title for 3 years and nobody's taken it off me and stuff like that, it's like, it leads you to believe that that's the direction that they want to go.
Yeah, and whoever takes it off her, it's going to be very, very
big moment. And don't get me wrong, I would like to believe that Doudrop is capable of that. I don't know, man. It's just hard for me to put my eggs in her basket, if that doesn't sound too creepy.
No, that makes sense. Makes sense. Supersonic, what's up? Haven't seen him in a while. Supersonic. Anybody remember the hip-hop song, Supersonic? I'm curious to see how good they work. I mean, they came up together, so they do have a little bit of history. Yeah, they've worked.
Right. It's going to be a vicious match, dude. I have no problem believing that these two girls are going to slug the hell out of each other. It's not going to be a slap fest. It's not going to be a divas match. It's going to be a straight up. It's going to be a brawl.
The difference with Doudrop and Liv Morgan, and this is not a shot on Liv Morgan. I know you and I, we have different opinion on Liv right now. But sure. Doudrop can dictate a match. She doesn't need to as much with Becky Lynch in that ring. But Doudrop won't have to rely on Becky like Liv did.
Right.
So, right. Yeah, I think it's, look, Royal Rumble, and, you know, I know I put a poll up earlier for everyone to let us know when to do predictions, but, you know, I mean, 2-1, everybody wanted it tonight. And then I thought about it. I said, you know, somebody made it the point that Friday night there's going to be 1,000 predictions videos posted online. And, you know, Royal Rumble is Saturday. So basically you do predictions on Friday. That means people have less than 24 hours to check them out before the event happens. After the event happens, your predictions really are worthless. So we're doing it tonight, you know, just to leave them out there for a few days. But not only that, you know, with the Royal Rumble matches, the men's and the women's both are going to go an hour apiece. You know, we really just have 4 other matches. So it's not where it's going to take so long to get into the predictions. Now, just to jump ahead and then we'll get back to Raw. You know, this is something I think some people probably will appreciate, especially, you know, you and I, our support for NXT 2.0. I don't know if you checked out the show I did on Saturday, but I put up 40 reasons why these reports going around that WWE officials are very disappointed with the launch of NXT 2.0, and the claim was that they expected fans to gravitate more to these wrestlers. I don't even know what the hell that means when you think about it, but I read off 42 wrestlers in NXT, and no joke, Mish, of those 42 wrestlers, 38 of them, since October, their stock has gone up. it blows your mind when you actually start going through the names and you count. You're like, holy shit, there's almost 40. If you get 10 diamonds and maybe one step below diamonds in a rough for 5 years from now, like Bron Breakker and some others, I mean, right. How could you do any better than that? But
I think people are still salty about
NXT
being disbanded. Very salty. I don't want to say disbanded, but changed. And a lot of the people that, you know, came from NXT have either been removed from the company or they're in, you know, less than ideal circumstances on the main roster. So I think there's still a lot of hurt feelings. I think people, you know, wanted guys like Bronson Reed. They wanted guys like Cross. They wanted guys like Bearcat Keith Lee to be representatives of that NXT, to be powerhouses on the main roster right now. So, I mean, if it's opinion pieces, DT, I have no problem with it. If people think that the executives are unhappy because they've invested all this time in older talent and it just didn't work with them, that's fine if it's an opinion piece. But if they're reporting this as news,
that's right. Well, that's the thing. Road Dogg exposed that the other day. You know, yeah. When Road Dogg, you know, went back and forth with WrestleVotes, and basically, you know, Road Dogg said people are mixing their personal feelings with actual reports, and that is what's going on. You got a lot of journalists that have personal feelings about not wanting this change, and they're using that and trying to create news out of it. So, Garth, MMA is, Bellator is going up against WWE on Saturday. I don't think that's really going to matter. I really don't. I mean, it was last week that everybody was predicting a massacre on Monday night with WWE ratings because of football, and the overall rating went up. You know what I mean? People are going to watch what they want to watch.
I mean, and WWE constantly goes up against, you know, the NFL on Sunday nights, has forever. You know what I mean? And there's a much bigger audience that's watching the NFL than Bellator. So,
yeah,
it's nothing.
Well, as far as NXT goes, WWE announced the most stupendous WrestleMania week ever. You got to
stop that.
What
was it, the greatest match of all time with Randy Orton and
the greatest Royal the greatest battle royal ever, the greatest
I mean, they're really setting themselves up for failure, because it's like, you know what happens at that point is when it isn't, when people go home dissatisfied, you've now just made you and your company and the people involved in that match look a fool. You know,
I wonder how many people know how to spell stupendous. You'd think they would have used an easier word, and we'll talk about the spelling bee in a little bit.
Chad knows how to spell stupendous.
You know, I got to say something about that spelling bee in a minute. But, you know, if you look at that, that's not bad. You got Raw, you got SmackDown, NXT, Stand and Deliver. So that will be part of WrestleMania week, which is awesome. We have the Hall of Fame. Superstore Access, which is, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how they do that with COVID still lingering. And then you got the Hall of Fame and two nights of WrestleMania. So that is going to be a loaded, loaded week. So the most stupendous WrestleMania week ever. And it's not in Saudi Arabia, too. So, you know, that spelling bee that they did earlier, you know, first of all, they're milking this across the next 3 weeks.
Yeah,
they're milking this, which that is after, isn't that? That's right before Saudi Arabia, because the 31st would be week two, and then the 7th would be week three, and then the next week would be the Raw right before the Elimination Chamber. So it seems like we'll probably get Alpha Academy versus RK-Bro at Elimination Chamber, but they're milking the challenges across 3 weeks. And tonight, they did a spelling bee. And I don't know if anybody caught on with the spelling bee, but Otis was the first one to spell a word. And it was funny because Emmental cheese is one of my favorite cheeses to have on keto. You know, it's a very, very excellent Swiss cheese, Emmental. And he spelled it wrong. I don't know if you go back and you watch it, they put the word on the screen. Otis spelled it wrong. He ruined this segment. They still beeped it that he got it right, but he never said the letter A in Emmental. So Otis got it wrong, and a lot of people had no idea. They had no idea. Otis misspelled the fucking word. The contest was over right at the beginning. But they had Otis spell Emmental. Riddle was the star of this. And you and I said that last week, that Riddle is going to, you know, he always used like this stone persona, but he was going to come into this and suddenly have a brain. And they have him spell the word calibration. And he's like, you mean like my scales? When I measure things in grams and ounces, and I'm like, oh, that's fucking priceless, man. Yeah. You know, that's priceless. That was funny.
Yeah.
So he spelled it right. Believe it or not, disillusion and dissolution is actually two different words. So what they did was, you know, that Chad Gable misunderstood the word that he was supposed to spell. He spelled dissolution, which he spelled right. But the word was disillusion. And so he got it wrong. So technically, they got one word wrong. And then Randy Orton spelled dumbbell. So that was your spelling bee.
Yeah.
It led to a match between Orton and Chad Gable.
Disillusion to dumbbell. I mean, were they trying to say that Randy was an idiot? I kind of laughed at that. Because you would have figured that Otis would have been the one trying to spell the word dumbbell, not Randy. I don't know. That was weird to me because I was like, is there some kind of meta joke involved in this somewhere? Am I missing something? But
yeah. Well, this led to Gable pissed off, and Randy Orton's like, how's about I fight you right now? So they have a match. They tore it up.
Match.
I mean, Chad Gable is giving me flashbacks of, I'm not saying that he's this person, but he reminds me a little bit of early Kurt Angle. Not because he was affiliated with him, but if you remember early Kurt Angle before he was bald, and Kurt Angle would, remember, intelligence, intensity, integrity, you know, he reminds me of some early Kurt Angle.
Yeah, there's definitely similarities there. I don't think anybody would be surprised by that. I mean, if anything, I mean, you've got to look at the fact that he teamed up with Shelton Benjamin for a little bit. He teamed up with Jason Jordan under the shadow of Kurt Angle. I mean, he's basically, I think, the new version or the new generation's Charlie Haas. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but you know what I mean? Like, he's not a standalone character like Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was a cut above the rest because Kurt Angle could stand on his own, but Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, the world's greatest tag team, was fantastic. It was phenomenal. Now, Otis isn't necessarily a Shelton Benjamin type, but at that same point, you know, Chad Gable still gives us that kind of backbone structure that Charlie Haas did back in the day. Yeah. And then on top of it, I would almost say that he's better than Haas was because he can cut a promo a lot better. He is far more entertaining. Dude, I laughed my ass off with the whole shush, Ohio, you suck. And I was like, oh, this dude's hilarious.
Even the way he says thank you. I actually swear to Jesus Christ. I swear to God. I did that last week with my fiance. I said something to her, and I was right. She was wrong. And I said, okay, thank you.
It's just he's so wonderfully. And I think that that's what the major point of Chad Gable's character is. He is a good, condescending asshole.
Yes.
Because he doesn't say those things just because he's wacky. It's not like it's a Santino gimmick. He knows he's being a jerk to you. And it's funnier because you understand the point of his character. So even though Otis is just, look, Otis has his positive points. I think Otis, as far as a charismatic character, was great when he was with Mandy. I know a lot of people remember those days. Now his whole thing is to be the straight man, but it works. Those two guys are doing something with it. They're trying what they can to make it work. And it really does fall on the shoulders of Chad Gable, and I don't think he's doing a bad job at all, DT.
Yeah, I got it. I wonder how much Chad Gable tries to crack Otis, tries to get Otis, to crack. I mean, but it's fucking funny,
that
man.
That might be a bit, dude. That might actually, you might have hit the nail on the head, because we know for a fact that people, and even back during the Attitude Era, they try to get Undertaker to laugh. They try to get Steve Austin to laugh. Like, the guys would constantly try to make each other laugh. And now you have Otis, whose entire gimmick is to be stone-faced. It's like, I can't imagine how many times this guy's like literally just biting a hole in his lip just so he doesn't start busting out laughing,
I got to be honest with you, with Street Profits, who impress still, Mysterios, which are fun, Ziggler and Rude, maybe they just get under your skin. But then you got RK-Bro, and then you got Alpha Academy, and I'm sure I'm leaving some teams out. Suddenly Raw's got a pretty great tag team division. Not one of the most memorable, but you give me two really fun, talented, that I'm entertained. Yeah, I mean, how could you ask for anything more? For a three-hour show, you give me RK-Bro doing what they're doing. You give me Alpha Academy. Oh, thank you. It's like, come on. I mean, I know not everything on Raw is great, but there's enough to cherry pick, and you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
I will give points. I'm not huge into the Mysterios. I have nothing but respect for Ray. And the Street Profits haven't been the best tag team for me, but I will say this, going into the Royal Rumble, and especially over the last few weeks, pretty much since the dissolution of AJ and Omos, I like the fact that all the characters seem to be a lot more laid back. They don't seem to be playing characters as much as they're just kind of goofing on each other.
Yeah.
And I think, and we've talked about that before too, is that one of the big things that wrestling seems to be missing these days is the wrestlers looking like they're having fun out there.
Yeah.
The fans jumping in, being in on the joke, and I got to say, for whatever reason, I don't know who talked to who or how it went down. It seems like since this whole Royal Rumble thing and, Ray throwing out his kid and it's like the Street Profits kind of just winging it and stuff like that. It seems like a lot more everybody is playing more of themselves.
Having fun. You know what's going to happen now. They do this for two more weeks. And you'll get the news reports. The atmosphere in the WWE Raw locker room has been very good as of late. That's how the sausage is made, everyone. There's nobody backstage that's calling schmuckwrestling.com and saying, hey, the locker room is very bummed right now. Chad Gable looked like he was having a ball to be able to go this long with Randy Orton on Raw.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that match. I know I completely segued from that match, but that was a brutal match. Matt Riddle using the scooter like that on Otis was insane. It looked vicious.
Yeah.
And got to admit, Chad Gable sold that RKO like a champ. My God. He made that RKO extra.
Yeah.
Extra spicy. So that was nice.
Well, as a result, with Randy Orton winning this match, now they get supposedly to pick the challenge next week, and it's going to be a scooter race. Now, my honest opinion, the only two people that should be in this race is Randy Orton and Otis. I want Randy Orton to try to race with the scooter. Like something you never thought you would see. And I got to see Otis trying to ride one of these scooters. Give me Orton. Give me Otis. And if all four have to do it, maybe they'll do like what we used to do in school with the baton, like you're running and you pass the baton to your partner. Maybe you start off with Riddle and Chad Gable, and then they pass it off to Otis and Randy Orton. I can't believe, it's not even a wrestling segment and we're enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was good. That was good. Also, we had tonight, I'm just looking at the match results, Bianca Belair over Queen Zelina. I think pretty much we knew what that outcome was going to be. I mean, it is what it is. And then we had Rhea Ripley, Dana Brooke, and Liv Morgan beating Carmella, Nikki Ash, and Tamina. And, you know, this match was an okay match. The big thing about this match, and I've said this before, Mish, and I'm going to say it again now. You know, WWE, I don't think people have really thought about it, but outside of the legends coming back for a spot in the Royal Rumble, almost pretty much every female that is in that Royal Rumble has a big-time foe. It might not be a big-time foe on the food chain, but you look at it, Rhea's going to want to come for Nikki A.S.H., and Nikki A.S.H. is probably going to run out of the ring and hide underneath the ring. You got Tamina with Dana Brooke. You have Aaliyah with Natty. You got Xia Li with Natty. Yeah, I mean, everybody in that Royal Rumble has somebody in there that they can fuck with. The WWE has done a good job of having all of the women have somebody in that match that they want to go after. And what they did tonight was, after the match was over and you had Dana Live and Rhea Ripley celebrating, Nikki A.S.H. took a cheap shot at Rhea Ripley and immediately got out of Dodge just to, you know, sneak one more in there before the Royal Rumble. So you know Rhea going right to Nikki A.S.H. when she's in that match.
Absolutely.
So that's what the match was designed for tonight. Dominic and Rey Mysterio over the Street Profits. I can't believe Montez Ford doing that dive outside the ring 5 days before the Royal Rumble. I mean, the guy's nuts. And I say that in a complimentary way. The Mysterios get the win, but then I guess the little backstory of it was what we talked about last week. You know, everybody playing on each other, the Mysterios eliminating the Street Profits. Well, they had a backstage interview segment earlier tonight, Dominic and Rey talking about the Royal Rumble. It talked about video games also, but, you know, Dominic pretty much insinuating that he'd throw his father off the top, over the top rope. And Rey is like, oh, he's just kidding, is he? And then after the match is over, Rey dumps Dominic over the top rope.
Yeah, and they all dumped each other after that match, too. And then you had Dolph Ziggler and, you know, oh, my God, beer money, Jesus.
Yeah, I got samples delivered. Don Tony, Bobby. Celebrating 25 years.
Oh, what is that?
This is the celebrate 25 years of doing shit.
You got a tumbler. Nice.
Yeah, I got a tumbler. It's nice. It's got ice in it and everything. Yeah, I got a couple of samples sent to me, which is pretty cool. I'll probably give them some of them away on the show. So, but yeah, I like the little tease.
Did you do a big show for that? I didn't even ask.
Well, the thing is this. I added up today because somebody asked me, when do I think I will hit number 5,000 as far as doing stuff between the shows and the hotline? And if I do not take any scheduled day off, episode 5,000 would be either Sunday, February 27th or Monday, February 28th. I think I'll probably take one day off between now and then, so we make sure 5,000 is on Monday.
You should take a few days off and have it become WrestleMania.
Well, that's a month away. That's a month. Yeah. That would be a lot. But then again, you know what? Podcast episode 2000 is coming up also. So podcast episode 2000 might be right around WrestleMania time, because as of right now, hold on, I put it up earlier. Episode right now, as far as podcasts, not hotline stuff, because I did more hotline than podcast. I'm up to podcast episode 1962. So that would be 38 episodes away.
Wow.
So that would be 8 episodes past February 28th. So that actually probably would be the middle of March. But then again, you know what? We don't have to celebrate 5,000 on 5,000. We can just do it WrestleMania weekend or something.
Sure.
So, all right, getting back to Raw. We are left with, holy shit, we're left with one match. And then we got to talk about the weigh-in. We had, and I hated this, man, Kevin Owens beating Damian Priest by disqualification. They have handed a boatload of losses to Damian Priest the last month and a half. I know a lot of them are by DQ, but I'm not even really concerned about the number of losses. Because, look, we brought up Finn Balor. Finn Balor beat Austin Theory five straight times. And in the last nine matches, Finn Balor is 8-1, and people are saying he's being buried. Maybe he's not getting a push, but he's not being buried either. But the thing with Damian Priest, fans are not into this Incredible Hulk, you know, Ricky Ricardo losing his temper, you know, whoever you want to put in that sentence. I mean, it looks childish. Like, for no reason, he's like, you know, his teeth aren't that great in the first place. He's got the white of his eyes, and I'm like, you know, this guy comes from the streets, and because Kevin Owens fakes an arm injury, you're about to turn into the Incredible Hulk? What kind of pussy are you? And I'm just talking about the character. I'm not talking about Damian Priest the person. Right. You know, he gets Kevin Owens in the corner, and he snaps, he loses it, he won't stop, and the referee calls for the bell. The crowd is turning against the Damian Priest character because of this dumb shit that WWE got this fascination that they wanted Damian Priest to snap, and snap so bad that he gets disqualified for it. The problem is, you go back and look at it, he's like elbowing, look like a chicken. He's like elbowing, and he's missing half of his shots, and it just looks like he's punching air. It almost looks like I'm Dark Order, like a Latino Dark Order. And the crowd booed it. They're not booing Damian Priest. They're booing with this horrible DQ losing temper outcome that WWE just keeps doing over and over and over.
But he wasn't losing. That's the problem. See, the real problem isn't the fact that Damian Priest is losing by DQ. It's how he's losing by DQ. He had the upper hand over Kevin Owens. And for no reason, he started going off and kept him in the corner and just started pummeling him while the ref is trying to break it up. That doesn't even make sense. What would have made sense was Kevin Owens had the upper hand. Damian Priest was about to lose. And then Damian Priest snaps and starts just going off on Kevin Owens, even past the point of the ref break, the rope break or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. If you're winning, why would you then throw the match when you're clearly winning, when you clearly have the upper hand?
And I'll add two things to that.
It's not just the DQ. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The DQ stuff is, it isn't great. But how they're doing it, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's throwing chicken wings. You're not wrong. He's probably unhappy with it. Although, and here's the weird thing too, and I mean, I only want to segue this because it kind of brings up a question. Boy, oh boy, they made sure to plug Bad Bunny's concert dates coming up, huh? Yeah. Wonder what that's all about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? You know, could he possibly come back for the WrestleMania? Possible?
Could he come back for Royal Rumble?
I mean, they
literally just plugged his dates and everything, like... WWE isn't altruistic on that level where they just start plugging their friends' dates for no reason.
I don't see Bad Bunny like suddenly giving date. Even if Bad Bunny just showed up, like, hey, I want to see my friend. You know, I just can't picture Bad Bunny giving advice to Damian Priest, like, yo, what's going on with you losing your temper like that? Like, I don't see that. You know, like, and first of all, it wouldn't even be in English. But I'll say this. Right. I'll say this. Two things about Damian Priest that is wrong right now. He flips out, and then once the DQ hits, he stops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you stop.
Yeah, it's like, oh, gosh, it's, darn it, I got DQ'd again.
Yeah. And the second thing, the second thing is this. You know fans are not liking it because when someone gets disqualified, and they beat the crap out of someone, usually when the fans see someone beating the crap out of someone and they get disqualified over it, you usually hear three words and there's usually a spot involved and the fans will go, one more time, one more time. It could be a power move. It could be putting someone through a table. It could be using the ring steps. It could be using any type of a weapon. And the crowd will go, one more time, one more time. Damian Priest is not doing anything that the fans would want to see one more time. Like Damian Priest just picked up Kevin Owens and threw him over the top rope, you know, and splat outside the ring. I'm just not saying for, but just an example. And it just looks brutal. The fans will probably go one more time, one more time. Yeah. And then they're into it. But this stuff, it's like, you know, chicken wing, punch in air, and then the DQ bell hits. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm not feeling that at all. Not feeling it at all. They got to stop that shit. Because it's really, I mean, Kevin Owens was cheered more tonight than Damian Priest. I mean, people love how hard Kevin Owens is working right now, and he's got millions of reasons to do it. But this is not helping Damian Priest. In my opinion, the last 6 weeks have not helped them at all.
No, if anything, it's kind of like it's done the exact opposite. I still don't understand why they forced this whole heel turn and this whole crazy thing. And,
oh, Kevin Owens?
And everything on Damian Priest. Well, I mean, just in general.
He's not a heel.
I don't understand why they turned this direction, because this guy was beloved last year.
He's not a heel. He's just losing his temper. He's got to see Alexa Bliss, his psychologist.
You don't think he's a heel character? You don't think a guy that can't keep his shit right isn't a heel character?
He's just a he's a good guy that keeps losing his temper.
I see it as a heel. I see it as, this is an unstable guy. This is a guy with bad intentions for people. This is a clear-cut case of a heel. I don't know.
Look, we're probably both right in some way. When he starts beating up Rey Mysterio, Dominic, Riddle, and some of the good guys out there, then I'll start feeling that way. I think this is a default of WWE. The fact that you and I feel so different about Damian Priest, just, you know, It almost reminds me of, we talked about it before, Karrion Kross in NXT. Karrion Kross, when he first got that belt. Remember those nights? Are we supposed to cheer him or boo him? I mean, WWE one time on NXT piped in all his loud boos. And then the week before, the fans are chanting, you know, his name and everything. And he takes the microphone and he does this. That's to acknowledge the fans. Like, everybody hear that? You know, you hear that?
Right.
So it was so many mixed messages. They're sending mixed messages with Damian Priest, and it's not working.
Sure.
Yeah. We had another segment tonight with Alexa Bliss. And, you know, look, she's still wearing the suspenders, but now the colors are changing a little bit, and her hair is not up in a bun. You know, are we starting to see the slow transformation back to the almost like the goth goddess? Because tonight they were talking about Lily, a lot about Lily.
Yeah.
So where does Lily fall into this?
I mean, I don't think they're going away from it. It feels like, if anything, they're trying to give a backstory to why Alexa Bliss is this way, even though we watched the entire story unfold ourselves, even at WrestleMania. So I don't know, man. I guess it's just a character that they feel that she completes, and they want to keep going with it.
Yeah, you're right, Ben. Overalls, I you know, I see the suspense. That's what I meant. Overalls. Look, you know, she's going to be in the Royal Rumble, I believe. I mean, I got to look at the women that are announced for this Royal Rumble. Do I have I think we have a picture. Yeah, we have a picture coming up. But whether she comes back for the Royal Rumble or, you know, they do these segments for a few more weeks, you know, either way, I mean, I don't know where this leads with Lily. But, you know, she's getting calmer. She's not breaking things. For the last 2 weeks, she's really not breaking things. She's talking about how she first met Lily and, you know, when she was a kid and the playground and all that stuff. So, you know, I wonder if they do something where she becomes Lily. Not saying where she's going to call herself Lily, but I don't know where this is going to go. But at least they're bringing her back on TV, you know. We got another dopey Veer vignette once again. This is not necessarily predictions, but I'll ask you now. You think Veer is going to debut at the Royal Rumble or as part of the Raw roster?
I mean, they've been promising him on Raw for a long time now. And chances are, if WWE has no belief in Veer, he's going to debut at the Royal Rumble and get thrown right out.
I'll tell you this much, man. It's a gamble. You know, I like what you said about having him in Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia, they cheer the shit out of everybody. The big fear.
Not only that, you, unless you're going to give him an individual singles match in order to rebrand this guy, in order to bring this guy out and have him make an example of someone, which I don't see that happening. And if it does, what is it going to be on the pre-show?
Yeah.
So the only other option is to debut him in the Royal Rumble. And debuting him in the Royal Rumble, does anybody think that Veer is going to go all the way through 29 other men and win it?
No, but it's risky. It's risky because, you know, today's the 6-year anniversary of AJ Styles. Now, I'm not comparing AJ Styles to Veer, but one of the most memorable moments about AJ Styles, his debut in the Royal Rumble, was the crowd reaction. And after Veer's trending on Twitter again today. Every week, he trends. Right, he trends for comical reasons, but my point is, if I could use this baseball comparison, I think people understand where I'm going with this. You get, sometimes in baseball games, you'll have a pitcher that can't find the strike zone, and they'll walk, you know, a batter, 4 pitches. Then they'll walk a second batter on 4 pitches. After like 8, 10, 12 straight balls, when they throw the first strike, you hear the crowd sarcastically go, "Yay!" You know, for one strike. That's happened trillions of times in baseball. Veer, being such comedy now, the risk is that if he debuts at the Royal Rumble and the crowd does not react, I think that is tremendously damaging for him.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, there should be a sarcastic major pop for Veer.
Honestly, the most interesting thing you could do if you're going to debut him at the Rumble, have him a part of the Rumble, but not as an entrant. Have him come there, attack someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like take somebody out. So
it's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
One more match we had tonight. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I actually thought the segment that Austin Theory had with Vince McMahon tonight was a little bit better. I don't know what it was. Maybe they just changed the makeup on Vince McMahon a little bit, but he looked a little bit better. He sounded a little bit more assertive. Maybe they turned down the crowd noise a little bit extra. But basically, you know, Austin Theory bragging about what he did last week. And, you know, Vince McMahon puts him, he's in a match with AJ Styles tonight. And he's showing Vince selfies. And Vince is like, "I don't like that one." And he's like, I wrote it down. "Oh, you better bring back a really good selfie." So Austin Theory, telling you, man, I have sung the praise for Austin Theory for a long time, and that guy is going to be a future. So I don't know how far he's going to go, but he will have gold in 2022. But he took on AJ Styles, you know, very good match. The right person won. AJ Styles getting the win. Austin Theory, little by little, showing that he can hang with some of these guys. I enjoyed the match.
Yeah, no, it was a fine match. I mean, it was actually one of the highlights of the night. Can't be too surprised when somebody says AJ Styles had a good match with so-and-so. So, as far as the Vince McMahon segment goes, I think they leaned back on the corniness a little bit and just kind of kept it straight. Like, there wasn't as much forced comedy tonight as there has been in the past. And I think that still works.
Yeah.
You want to have Vince as a figurehead, fine. He doesn't have to be wacky Vince all the time, you know? So,
By the way, shout out to Lauren, Tony, Ken, Gabriella, Ben, and everybody else hanging out tonight. Joe Punches, If you're enjoying the show, as we always ask, we don't ask often if you notice, but once in a while, you know, hit that like button, like, share, subscribe if you haven't done so already. So we got into the entire episode of Raw with the exception, you know, and they had people cutting promos about being in the Royal Rumble. I mean, it happens every year, but we had a weigh-in tonight. They hyped up the weigh-in, and they decided to make it the opening segment of the show. Now, I don't know about you, but did you find it interesting on how much Bobby Lashley went out of his way to slap hands with fans?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I didn't really think too much of it. I just thought it was part of the, I don't know, the fanfare, you know, because they were also doing more of the hype tonight, the packages and stuff like that. They made very sure that Bobby Lashley was focused on almost to a dizzying degree. I felt like Bobby Lashley was especially focused on, which I'm not sure why. Is it because WWE feels like the fans aren't behind Bobby on the same level as they are Brock Lesnar? Which makes sense because Brock Lesnar is an accomplished, like, legend for WWE. Bobby Lashley is the champ. You know, he's a former, it's just former champ. He's, but he doesn't have the same level as Brock Lesnar. So I kind of thought it was a little bit leaning more towards Bobby Lashley tonight.
Yeah.
Brock, you know, that wonderful straw hat. That was awesome.
Yeah, I liked the little interaction with Corey Graves because Corey Graves now cleared to return to the ring. We don't know if he is, but, you know, he's
Corey Graves
questioning Brock's attire for tonight. And Brock is like, you want me to get naked? So I'm not saying that Corey's going to get physical, but it was interesting to have Corey go out of his way to criticize Brock Lesnar's attire. I almost feel like there's an F5 in Corey Graves' future. I don't know. But they did
Corey Graves was out there looking like the third vaudevillian tonight.
Yeah, he's growing the mustache.
The mustache and a little goatee and stuff. I mean, you know, not that I could say much, but I sure don't look like with the little greasy hipster hair. Like, dear Lord.
Yep. Bobby Lashley's official weight was 273. Does anybody remember what Brock Lesnar's was? Was it 286? I actually felt pretty good because I was like, hey, they both weigh more than me. I was like, that doesn't happen too often, but obviously I don't have the physique like them. But I know Bobby Lashley was Bobby Lashley might have been 263. So 286 for Lesnar. Bobby Lashley, I know I have it in my notes. Let me see. I got it in my notes. I have the exact numbers right here. The weight was, hang on. Let me just pull it up. I like to be a little bit precise. All right, Bobby Lashley's weigh was 273. Brock Lesnar's was 286. So I like the segment. I will tell you, I mean, Bobby Lashley, you know, looks, I mean, he's always looks phenomenal. But when we get to predictions later, I really enjoyed this tonight. They really are pushing Brock Lesnar not taking Bobby Lashley seriously. Bobby who, Bobby who, Bobby who.
Right.
Brock is smiling. Lashley's looking very, very serious. I don't want to say what I think is going to happen in the Royal Rumble yet. We'll do predictions in a moment. But I will say this. If I had to criticize one thing about this buildup with Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, and I give you credit because you're the one that said in the beginning that you were really looking forward to this. We really didn't get it. We didn't have that real deep back and forth between Paul Heyman and MVP.
Yeah, we really didn't. I'm not exactly sure why. I hope it's nothing like they didn't want to expose MVP, which I don't think you would have done that. I think MVP is more than clever enough, more than quick enough on his feet to go toe-to-toe with a Paul Heyman. I mean, granted, Paul Heyman is a goddamn legend. You know what I mean? But MVP and Paul Heyman getting in each other's faces for their respective clients, I did want to see that. I'll be honest. I thought that that could have been good because, I mean, Bobby Lashley and Brock obviously can both talk. They've actually done a really good job this time around, both talking and cutting decent promos. But at the end of the day, you want to see the promo kings cut one off on each other. So, you know, maybe there's a next time. Actually, if they go in a direction that I think that they might go, there will definitely be a next time.
Yeah.
So,
well, for those that were asking, that was a legit scale. That scale is thousands of dollars. That's probably on rent for them to use in the segment tonight. That is a legit scale. I mean, there's no reason to finagle their weights. I mean, whether they were 273, 283, whatever it is, but they both are in incredible shape. People, I see more and more people saying they love this version of Brock Lesnar than ever. You know, my favorite Brock Lesnar of all time, other than when he was killing John Cena, was right before he left to go play for the Vikings. Before he left, when he was cutting the promos and he had that charisma that was missing, you know, it was just like, wow. You're like, where did this come from? And then he left. It was like, as soon as you started getting into it, he left. Here, I tell you, you know what I think it is? This is what I think it is. I don't have the picture handy, but you all remember this when I say it. You'll remember too, Mitch. Do you remember, there was an episode of Raw probably about 4 or 5 years ago where Brock Lesnar was sitting on a couch backstage and he was reading some type of hunting magazine. And Brock Lesnar, all the interviews at that time and everything else, he's like, look, I don't give a shit about this place. I do my job, I clock in, I do my job, I clock out, I go home. That's all I care about. And you just always felt that Brock Lesnar just doesn't give a shit about wrestling. As long as he does his job, whatever he's got to do, as long as he gets paid. Now, I think for the first time, maybe since before he left, it feels like Brock Lesnar almost comes off like he's really having some fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, like, that's something that was absent.
That's the whole theme that's been around Raw lately and SmackDown, too. I mean, with the exception of, you know, Roman Reigns and stuff like that, who's so serious all the time. It seems like a lot of these people are just having a good time. Like, everybody's relaxing. It's I'm not sure if this is like a new WWE mandate or something that's going around. But, yeah, no, it looks good. Brock going out there having fun. Even when he returned, he's having fun. Bobby Lashley, other than tonight, he's had some fun moments where he's kind of relaxed and laying back and chuckling with MVP. Like, it doesn't seem like it's so stressful anymore. I don't know if that's planned or if that, you know, if that's part of the script. Look like you're having fun, guys. You know, like, I don't know. But, I mean, for the most part, it's translating well to the audience because now the audience wants to see this, too.
Beth and Edge did 3D tonight on one of the security guards. Do you think there's any chance? Now, I brought up this match about a month ago that in Saudi Arabia, maybe we get the Usos versus the Dudleys. Not saying that that's going to happen, but do you think there's any chance that the Dudleys would be in the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, you brought that up before. And I think you brought it up for Crown Jewel. I'm not sure where the idea of the Dudleys coming in to WWE.
I just see an awful lot of 3D being done lately.
Yeah.
They want people to remember the Dudleys. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I still think Elimination Chamber could have the Usos versus the Dudleys. But I would think, like, if that was going to make sense in any way, shape, or form, maybe the Dudleys have to return at the Royal Rumble, and maybe one of them eliminates an Uso.
I mean, that could be fun because, you know, there's got to be some vets coming in for the guys' side. If the Dudleys come in for the Royal Rumble,
the Usos are not in this picture. But I would think the Usos, why wouldn't they be in the Royal Rumble? I mean, surprised that the Usos are not in the Royal Rumble.
How many people have been announced already?
I think we're up to 21. I'm looking at this.
Oh, wow, that many. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right now. We got 3, 5, 8, 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, 22. So there's still 8 slots available. And obviously a lot of people think Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne, LA Knight could all end up in the Royal Rumble. Now, I will say this about main event results for tonight. One of the matches was LA Knight beating, I believe, Shelton Benjamin. LA Knight beat Shelton Benjamin, but T-Bar beat Roderick Strong. And I said this, I don't remember which show it was last week, but I said, I think it was Saturday when we were talking about like where LA Knight, Pete Dunne, Roderick Strong, and Tommaso Ciampa, which brand should they go to? And I said, you know, I'm not feeling Roderick Strong on that main roster. It's nothing against him. But, you know, like, he, unless he has some type of character, like, if he just shows up on one of these shows, he's going to be squashed like a grape. I think the final chapter of Roderick Strong is being written. I never like to talk about, like, people who I think are on their way out, but give me one reason why Roderick Strong would fit on Raw or SmackDown. And don't just say to me, oh, you would have a great match with AJ Styles. I don't think the fans would care. What the connection with the fans and Roderick Strong. Like,
it's not there. I agree.
It's not there.
It's not there. I don't know. I mean, Roderick Strong is a guy who's been around for a long time. Obviously, people remember him from back in his days in ROH, too. I think that when or if Roderick Strong gets released from the company, you're going to have a lot of outrage, more of that social media outrage, and WWE doesn't know what they're doing and blah, 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 blah. But you're right. I don't see him making or breaking anything effective on Raw or SmackDown. Yeah. He doesn't strike me as a guy who is a needed cornerstone for either brand. Yeah. I mean, in NXT, he's barely a cornerstone.
Diamond mine.
Yeah,
did not work out all that good.
No, and it's kind of funny because the things that they should have pushed for Diamond Mine are not what they're doing. So I don't even know.
The best thing about Diamond Mine is two people, Malcolm Bivens and Ivy Nile. Fucking love Ivy Nile.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you know, yeah.
People want to talk about like Jade Cargill and Muscular. And let me tell you, Ivy Nile, people better watch out. That is I think the Pitbull nickname fits her perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, before we get out of here, everyone, it is time. It is time. We are going to get into Royal Rumble predictions. There we go. All right. So, we got 6 matches. And, you know, I mean, I know we're doing it few days early, but, you know, we'll just get some discussion. And, hey, maybe viewpoints change during the week. But I honestly don't see my views changing much at all. Becky Lynch defending the Raw Women's Championship against Doudrop. I'm with Mish with what he said earlier. To me, there is no chance of Becky Lynch losing this championship. Her reminding us repeatedly that she's had this title for 3 years, every time she does that, it's just one extra emphasis that whoever does beat her, it is going to be big. It is going to be huge. Nothing against Doudrop, but she's not the one. What do you think?
Can I throw out something? So with obviously the rumors of Ronda Rousey coming back to the Royal Rumble, would there be a potential for maybe Ronda Rousey not to be in the Royal Rumble, but for her to come out during this match at some point to screw with Becky?
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea at all. I think she's in the Royal Rumble, Ronda. But, hey, if she showed up, even after Becky beats Doudrop, I mean, here's a scenario. And this is why we love doing prediction, because we could throw multiple scenarios out there. It's not just pick a winner, but you could picture this, Mish. Becky beats Doudrop. She gets on the mic. There's nobody left. There's nobody left on Raw that could beat me. And then Ronda's music hits.
Yep.
That could work, man. that could freaking work. I love that idea.
Be a big moment. It would be refreshing for the women's division, which is what we've ultimately said that the women's division needs. They need a refresher course. They need something to liven it up a little bit. And yeah, Ronda will do that.
Yeah, not a bad idea. I still think she's in the Rumble, but that is an awesome idea if it happened. I don't think anybody would be disappointed either. I don't think anybody would be disappointed. She can do both.
They're going to add some naysayers, DT. Of course you are. But I think overall people will be pretty jacked to see Ronda come out.
She could mess around with Becky, and then she could announce that she's in the Rumble later on.
Yeah.
And Becky could be like freaking out over it. So that's not a bad idea either. All right. Moving on to the next match, we got, here we go, Edge and Beth Phoenix. Mixed tag match against Miz and Maryse. Do you think there's any chance? We'll probably see Beth Phoenix get physical on Miz, but will we see the opposite? Will we see Miz pull a move on Beth Phoenix? And I don't mean like flirtation. No. I'm talking about, no?
I don't think so. And if they did, it would be really awkward for Miz's character. Miz isn't that level of a heel. Like that's beyond the cartoony kind of heels that Miz and Maryse are. If you start having Miz just kick the living shit out of Beth Phoenix, that's going to make people uncomfortable, you know? And so I don't think it'll be that way. Yeah, Beth will be able to get her hands on Edge, but I wouldn't be surprised if Maryse throws some hands at Edge too, or does some, you know, pulls him off the ring apron or, you know, something like that. I think you'll have some tomfoolery that way. But as far as, you know, man on woman violence, not really.
I'm going with Edge and Beth to win. I know.
Yeah, I think that's the same bet too.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, Edge has got to lose a match, you know, sooner or later, but you bring Beth back, you know, she's trained, done a lot more training, I think people realize, and this is something very special. I'm not saying it's not special for Miz and Maryse, but they've been in a lot of mixed tags before. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, Nikki Bella and Cena. So this might be their one and only opportunity, Edge and Beth Phoenix, to a mixed tag, you know, with another couple. So I don't think, you know, you pass up the opportunity of Edge and Beth winning. So I'm going with Edge and Beth to win the match.
Right. It's a unique moment. Beth's never actually teamed with her husband in this way before. So yeah, you almost kind of got to root for Edge and Beth to win this one.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree. Okay. Moving on. There we go. We got the men's Royal Rumble match. Now, there are still 9 slots that have to be filled. We are getting surprises. You know, now I'm wondering if Jeff Jarrett is one, if Kevin Nash is going to be one with the return, you know, with the NWO heavily featured in this video game. I do not think The Undertaker appears in the Royal Rumble. We could possibly get a person or two from NXT. But I think if anybody from NXT, it's going to be the guys that have been working the dark matches and main events, Ciampa, LA Knight, you know, Pete Dunne.
Fair.
Yeah, right. I don't think Roderick Strong
would be. Caveat, though, on Undertaker is, and I know people have been reporting this, but it's a common sense kind of thing. Undertaker will most likely be at Royal Rumble because he's going to be supporting his wife.
Yeah.
People forget that Michelle McCool is going to be in the Royal Rumble. So, yeah, I mean, people are making these reports like, Undertaker's going to be at Royal Rumble. Well, he's going to be there one way or another. Do I think he's competing? I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be in competition. But will he be at the Royal Rumble? Sure. He's supporting his wife.
Yeah, he'll be in the locker room. Wife.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and they'll film some footage. And then after her appearance is over, we'll see, like, in 2-3 years, a little backstage footage where Michelle McCool goes up to her husband, right, gives her a kiss. And all is right. Good.
Right. Very good.
No matter who is going to be in this Royal Rumble that's not announced yet, I have one person and one person only that I am sticking with. And I think it is going to be Big E winning the Royal Rumble. I think with the audible, with Roman Reigns getting COVID, and they really needed to make a buzz, create a huge buzz around WWE, and changing the title that quickly for Brock Lesnar, I just personally feel that Big E, because of everything that he's done, I think WWE will give him that moment. I think Big E wins the Royal Rumble. I there's nobody else that I could look at right now and think about and say, yeah, I could see this person win the Royal Rumble. The only person that I could see, in my opinion, is Big E. What about you?
It depends. I mean, there are going to be some veterans that come back into this. One of the veterans being, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if Goldberg shows up. But as far as taking the Royal Rumble, I understand the argument for Big E, and I think that's a necessary argument. But I would like, and this is my dark horse, I would like to see Omos maybe take it. And I don't mean that they have Omos enter in at like number eight and have him just, you know, be there for the entire thing. But maybe Omos shows up late. Maybe Omos even shows up at number 30 and the people that are left in the ring can't deal with it. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind seeing some young blood actually, you know, win a scale on this level. So as far as my dark horse goes, I would say Omos.
Okay.
As far as saying the sure thing, yeah. Yeah, Biggie's a good one. I mean, you're right. I mean, maybe Orton, you know, but it's a thin roster.
Yeah, though. It's very thin.
I mean, come on. Nobody thinks that Sami Zayn or Johnny Knoxville are going to win it. You know what I mean? Like some of these, it's just like, look, you can have the Rey Mysterio and the Street Profits and Dominic all playing these little games, throwing each other out the ring. But at the end of the day, nobody's looking at any four of those guys and going,
no thought about Kevin Owens. No Kevin Owens.
I mean, I would love to, but I just don't see him with that kind of a point. I don't see, and I mean, maybe that's the jaded side of us of talking about this for years and looking at the company. It's like, as a fan, you're going to have kids that'll look at Sheamus and go, Sheamus is going all the way. And it's like, we're just kind of looking at it going, no.
No,
he's not. No. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can't even be fair to myself and say, well, you know, DT, anybody can win the Royal.
Yeah.
We know.
Imagine if Austin Theory won it.
Wow. You know what, though? I will give credence to that for one reason. They didn't put anybody else with Vince Skits.
Dude, he could take the selfie.
They didn't put anybody else with these Vince McMahon skits.
He could take the selfie pointing at the WrestleMania banner. Oh, my God. I hope I didn't just, you know.
That'd be horrible, though. I don't know if I'd be happy for that.
Well, I'm going with Big E.
Do you see him being that guy, though?
Huh?
Do you see Austin being that guy?
No, not yet. Not yet. I think that would hurt him. Okay. I think it would hurt him.
Is he your dark horse?
No, I don't have any dark horse. I'm so set on Big E. And when we get into later on, for anybody that disagrees with me right now, when we get to the next match, you'll understand why I'm going with this. And the next match is, drum roll, please. There we go. The Women's Royal Rumble. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go right ahead.
All right. I'm going to go first with a question to you. What do you think, in WWE's eyes, would be more important for Bianca Belair? Win the Royal Rumble 2 years in a row and make history, or Bianca Belair wins a high-profile match in Saudi Arabia, and then she gets to choose who she wants to face at WrestleMania? Which do you think would mean more to WWE?
Her winning the Royal Rumble would mean more to WWE. However, it would really let down the fans. I think it's a good decision for WWE because they get to finagle her as a high-profile wrestler, which she is. She's going to be a high-profile wrestler whether or not she wins the Royal Rumble at all, though, DT. I think the problem is that if WWE establishes her as the winner of the Royal Rumble, I think it really just kind of deflates everyone else.
Yeah. One fall, I don't think Tessa Blanchard debuts at the Royal Rumble. She's really not needed right now. You bring Ronda Rousey and there's no need for Tessa Blanchard. But in my opinion, now, hopefully this doesn't sound terrible towards Saudi Arabia, but you know, remember what we talked about with the Crown Prince and choosing Queen Zelina, okay? I look at Bianca Belair, and I know everybody and their mother right now is saying Ronda Rousey's winning the Royal Rumble. I see two scenarios, and the scenario I'm leaning towards is Ronda Rousey does not win the Royal Rumble. Ronda Rousey would be mega money if she were to compete in Saudi Arabia. And if Ronda Rousey was going to go to Saudi Arabia for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, whatever, live event, whatever you want to call it, I could see Ronda Rousey winning a high-profile match in Saudi Arabia more than I see her winning the Royal Rumble. Because if Ronda Rousey wins the Royal Rumble, then Bianca Belair is going to be the likely one. Because Sasha Banks is not going to, it's more than likely she's not going to be ready to return in time for the Elimination Chamber. So Sasha Banks, just like Charlotte last year, they had that false pregnancy stuff. And then Charlotte, I don't remember if the COVID thing was involved, but they passed up Charlotte with WrestleMania. They may have to do that with Sasha for a championship match. So my thing is, if Ronda wins the Royal Rumble, Bianca's got to win in Saudi Arabia. And in my opinion, I think that Crown Prince and Saudi Arabia fawns over Ronda Rousey 1,000 times more than Bianca Belair. Not because of Bianca Belair's color, not because of her status. She's still fairly new for wrestling fans. Ronda Rousey is a UFC legend, and Saudi Arabia loves the Ultimate Fighting. Outside of The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar is fawned in Saudi Arabia. So I personally think if Ronda Rousey is going to win a match, it is going to be in Saudi Arabia, not the Royal Rumble. Yeah. My thinking is that she enters the Royal Rumble, Charlotte Flair eliminates Ronda Rousey in the Royal Rumble. And then this, because I know a lot of people think Ronda versus Becky, they want to see that rematch. First of all, that botched pin, I don't think WWE really wants to revisit that. That was botched. That was a mess. That's not a storyline that they want to revisit. I think Charlotte eliminates Ronda Rousey. Charlotte brags. And then you have Elimination Chamber. Ronda shows up in Saudi Arabia. And she wins a match that gives her an opportunity to face a champion of WrestleMania. Bianca Belair wins the Women's Royal Rumble. Bianca chooses Becky. Ronda chooses Charlotte. And I think those are your two WrestleMania matches. So I think Ronda gets eliminated by Charlotte. I think Ronda wins in Saudi Arabia. She goes on to face Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania and defeat Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania.
I like your scenarios. I think that they are well thought out. But I don't think WWE is going to be that complex, DT. I think this might be one of those cases that you've overthought yourself, sir.
Probably.
I think it's going to be a lot simpler than that. I don't think Ronda Rousey is going to be the winner of the Royal Rumble. I also don't think that Bianca Belair is going to be the winner of the Rumble. I think it might be somebody like a Liv Morgan or an Alexa Bliss or maybe a returning Sasha. Somebody else that needs it a little bit more. Because, look, at the end of the day, everybody knows who Ronda Rousey is. You don't need to make anything special. You just put her there and people will know. And I don't think WWE is looking at the Women's Royal Rumble as a way to really catalyst some of these girls into the same kind of stardom as Ronda Rousey or even Bianca Belair. But seeing somebody like a Liv Morgan, who WWE has repeatedly tried to push to the moon and just they just can't seem to do it, or Alexa Bliss being repackaged. You know, she's being fixed right now. And her coming out and winning the Royal Rumble, boy, oh boy, that would do a lot of wonders for her career. So I think it's going to be something simpler than that. I'm going to go in the camp of a Liv or a, like I said, a Liv, a Sasha, Bayley might return. People are talking about Asuka returning. Lacey Evans might make a return. You know, there's a lot of names that have kind of disappeared that are definitely going to be coming back. You know, people coming back off of injury and such. So I think it might be something along those lines. I think it'll be a little bit simpler.
Okay. All right. And that leaves us with two matches. Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. The Usos are banned at ringside.
Yeah.
I'm going with Roman to retain.
I would like to believe the internet on this one. I want to believe the internet is right on this one. And WWE struck some kind of a one-off deal that Moxley's going to make some kind of an appearance. I want to believe the internet so bad on this one. I don't think it's true, but I want to believe. I feel like that X-Files ad for the movie. You want to believe. I think Roman's going to take it, though. I don't think there's any reason for Seth to win. Unless something crazy happens, there's no reason for Roman to lose this.
Okay. I think Roman retains, and we have to get to the next match, and that'll fall in line with Roman Reigns. So let's go to the next match, and then you'll understand why I made the predictions that I made. So your last match is Brock Lesnar defending the WWE Championship against Bobby Lashley. I believe the Usos, who are banned from ringside for Roman Reigns' match, are not banned from ringside for this match. And I think they will get involved. They could get involved. I believe Bobby Lashley will beat Brock Lesnar for the championship. This whole storyline about Bobby who, Bobby Lashley beats him. It's no more Bobby who. Bobby Lashley needs this win on his resume to cement his legacy even further. Brock Lesnar is one person that goes along with whatever they pay him to do. So there's no politics where Brock is against losing this title. I think Brock would have no problem losing this to Bobby Lashley. And I think as a result, you get Big E versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, and they're both going to be friendly. They're both going to be kind of baby faces, so it's going to be a little bit different vibe. And I believe because of Saudi Arabia and because how they gush incredibly for, as some people online gush for Tony Khan, Saudi Arabia gushes for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar will win the Elimination Chamber. What will happen is Brock will lose it. Maybe the Usos cost him the loss, and then Brock goes on a rampage. He shows up at Saudi Arabia, wins the Elimination Chamber, challenges Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, defeats Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Then Roman Reigns will take a little bit of time off since he's been back and he's been the head of the table of SmackDown. So this is why I choose Big E winning the Rumble. This is why I choose, you know, Brock to lose, because I think in Saudi Arabia, the amount of money involved, $50 million. Brock, high-profile win. Ronda Rousey, high-profile win. Fantasy match, maybe Usos versus Dudleys. You know, Orton, RK-Bro versus Alpha Academy. I mean, those are a couple of matches right off the bat. The only thing is, here's the only and I'll stop. But here's my only audible. If Roman Reigns beats Seth Rollins, what is Roman Reigns going to do at the Elimination Chamber? Does he even go? You may not need him to go if you have Ronda and Brock showing up in Saudi Arabia.
So you think that ultimately Seth is going to be Roman in order to catalyst the storyline into effect?
No, Seth is going to lose to Roman. Roman will keep that championship up to WrestleMania. But
the Usos will interfere in the Bobby Lashley-Brock Lesnar match. Now, what happens if you're right, the Usos interfere, but the match ends up as a DQ because of it?
That's a good point, but I just don't think they're going to do a disqualification. I mean, the internet, the fans would be outraged if they did a heavyweight championship end in a disqualification. Maybe they show up. Maybe it's just a distraction. Because, you know, I mean, there is a little history there with them.
Outside the ring. Yeah, no, you're right. That's what I'm saying. I don't disagree with you. It makes a lot of sense. It's like, oh, yeah, they can't show up for Roman Seth, fine. But they can still fuck with other Roman enemies. And Brock Lesnar is a Roman enemy.
Yes.
So he's an enemy of the family. So I can totally see your logic behind why the Usos would show up and screw with Brock. But Roman also doesn't have any love for Bobby Lashley either. He doesn't care about Bobby Lashley. You know, Bobby Lashley to Roman Reigns has almost seemed like an afterthought ever since. Yeah. And it's more been about, you know, the back and forth that Brock and Roman have had. So I can't see the Usos going out there to help Bobby Lashley because it wouldn't make sense. But on the other hand, do you think, and let me throw this out here, as a caveat, do you think that Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander come out there to screw with the Usos?
No.
Do you think there's some kind of a weird no?
But I'll answer that with another question. Do you think there's any chance Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar? And this was Paul Heyman.
No, not at the Royal Rumble, no.
Okay.
Not now. Down the road, I can see it. I can see it when it's directly Roman and Brock again, but right now, no.
Okay.
I don't see it.
All right. Very quickly, SRH John, no interest in doing a sports show because if I do a baseball show, I got to study 30-something teams. If I do a football, I got to study dozens and dozens of teams. There's just not enough hours in a day. I don't mind talking a little sports on some of the Q&A shows, you know, but as far as dedicating something like that, it's crazy work. Plus, you know, we're wrestling fans. You know, how many wrestling fans are also baseball fans? They may not be. They might be football. It's too much. But, well, that is your Royal Rumble. And I will say this, Mish, I am really looking forward to this one. The men's Royal Rumble match is one of the weakest. Unless we get some awesome surprises, this is one of the weakest men's Royal Rumble lineups that I've ever seen. And I almost feel... Go ahead.
Yes, it's weak, but I think there will be awesome surprises. I think this is going to be one of those that we're going to enjoy retro people coming back. Like, what, Santino's rumored to come back to. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of guys we haven't seen in a while to come back, so... Is it going to be a hard-hitting, you know, nail-biting Royal Rumble? No.
What I love
is it going to be.
I would have loved the Brian Cage. If AEW is going to just let him go, be great. Right. Brian Cage could show up in the Royal Rumble. That would be awesome. I mean, I know he wouldn't win it, but that guy I would like to see.
It's going to be an entire Royal Rumble full of people that aren't going to win it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I know a lot of people fantasized about Moose. I don't know how WWE fans would react to Moose. It's nothing against Moose, but I don't know if he's the household name that some people think that he is.
What about any of the NWA guys? What about like a Trevor Murdoch coming back? Or
not a bad idea. Tyrus.
Damian Sandow.
Damian Sandow would be great. But I think the fans would be reminded how much WWE treated him like shit. And I think that would just open up.
I don't think the fans would be just happy to see him, though. I know I would be. If Damian Sandow showed up and Miz was in the ring or something, I'd kind of pop for that. Yeah.
You think Corey Graves is in the Rumble?
I think we talked about this.
Yeah, we said last week he could do the Jerry Lawler. Yeah. He gets up from the commentator's booth.
Go in there. I could see that. I could totally see that just for a one-off. But to see Corey Graves get back into a career in the ring, nah.
RVD's not a bad one. I could see RVD.
RVD would be cool. Yeah.
I'd love to see Wade Barrett. You know, I mean, he's just doing NXT commentating, but that would be pretty cool.
Totally, yeah.
Let him come out with the robe and the rose. Yeah, what's up with Bray Elias, Wyatt? Man?
Any thoughts on Bray Wyatt if he shows up?
He's doing the movie, and commitment that he can't get out of. So if he were to show up, he would have to stay.
That before, though, they did that with Cena, and Cena showed up.
Yeah.
They did that exact same thing before with John Cena during a Royal Rumble where, John Cena's not going to be at the Rumble because he's shooting but the Cena, Marine 45. You know?
Cena's untouchable, you know? Wyndham... No, I get that. You know, I'll say one last thing before we go. You know who I hope is in it? Seriously, Ali. I hope he's in it because
Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, because I see this Free Ali stuff, and I'm not going to get into what I said last week, but I don't think anybody out there should be telling people how to handle their livelihood and their income and their job. You know, even if you feel they're being mistreated, you know, if you have a family and you have responsibility and you got bills and you got a mortgage and you got things like that, you know, I don't care how much you don't like his employer. I don't think any of us have any right to tell someone where they should and should not work. It's messed up, absolutely messed up that WWE creatively has done shit for this guy. But for people to try to force this guy, you know, to force WWE to release this person, you know, I mean, if Ali just kept writing every day, you know, trapped in jail, this and that, it's different. But, you know, I wish they could work something out and maybe creatively do something. I would enjoy to see him in the Royal Rumble. It wouldn't even be to the people online, I just wish that they would maybe repair that fence and maybe they do something with him. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. But any final thoughts before we go?
No, looking forward to the Rumble. I will see everybody on, tomorrow for breakfast soup. Yeah.
By the way, that Royal Rumble list is fake. Veer Mahan is not entering 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Somebody put that out. It was a mock on the paper that some people thought was real. So, yeah, if you look at it closely.
Who is the dumb idiot that thought that was real? Come on now.
A lot of people that thought it was real. I had people sending it to me. Hey, what do you think of this?
Just
I said,
you mean what I think? It's fake.
First of all, even if WWE were to do something like that, they're not going to put a giant confidential, you know, like a PNG file and just plaster it in front of a paper. I mean, it's like, because it's confidential on it, that means you don't show anybody. You know, it was nonsense. They don't do things like, hey, pass it around. But because we stamped it confidential, you don't show anybody. Oh, but it was a nice try. Whoever did it. I give them credit for trying. But, Mitch, pleasure as always, my friend. I will see you tomorrow on Patreon Discord, 10:05.
Yeah.
And have a nice night and be well.
Much love, everyone.
Take care. All right, everybody. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. I know I saw earlier, I forgot to mention, a few people were asking about Super Chats. I had it disabled last week. I forgot to enable it. So that's why it was disabled. Nothing nefarious or anything like that. But tonight, we really wanted to focus on three things. Raw, Ronda Rousey, Royal Rumble. The R's. And had a fun show. For anybody out there that is interested in the ratings, AEW Rampage is up to 594, an increase of about 13%. SmackDown, 2,255,000, almost 10% increase. Impact, as I said on Saturday, is up almost 60% since the third week in December. Dynamite running strong. NXT, we'll see if they rebound from last week's 587. And Raw, I believe, will definitely go up from last week's 1,617. You know, the interesting thing about, I want to show you the ratings again for a reason. The interesting thing about Rampage, the interesting thing about Rampage and SmackDown, you see those numbers, those two shows, 594 for Rampage and 2,255 for SmackDown? If you go back 2 weeks, their ratings are almost identical. You know, basically, they're a little higher than what they were 2 weeks ago, but last week, every show went down in the ratings with the exception of Impact. So now you see almost every show has gone up. So if Raw has an increase and NXT has an increase, that'll be 7 straight days where every promotion had a ratings increase. So leading into the Royal Rumble, you would think there would be some additional viewers. But so those are your ratings. And shout out to Nier, tested positive for COVID. Shit, man. And going through chemo. Wow. Well, you know what? You know, thank God with Omicron that it's something that, you know, people are getting by a little bit quicker. You got to be very, very, very careful because you're doing chemo, you're immunocompromised. So you definitely, you know, want to be careful. But hopefully within the next couple of days, 2 days, I want to see good news that you're COVID negative. So just be safe, my friend. That's rough. I mean, you're getting it from left and right. So you just got to just be careful, man. You know, it's no joke. It's no joke. And I know we talked about COVID at the beginning of the show. I know there's a lot of you out there that are interested in what we talked about. But just look out for that story because I know, you know, when it comes to even like wrestling events, you know, you're not allowed to go inside a building unless you show proof of vaccination. And what we talked about earlier, that is going to be major controversy. You're going to see people who do not believe in the vaccine and they're going to be in an uproar and you're going to see a ton of people say, I told you so, told you so, told you so, told you so. It's going to be a mess. But the most important thing is we get this freaking virus out of here. That's most important. So best of luck to you, Nir. Get well soon. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Fun show, you know, and leave your comments. Post your predictions. Now, for our channel members, we'll have a small contest on Saturday. Patreon will have a small contest also Saturday. But in the comment section, you know, if you think that I'm way off with some of my predictions, tell me. I don't bite. I love hearing other people's ideas. If you think Mish is a little off on his stuff, say it. Let us know what you think is going to happen at the Royal Rumble. But I'm glad that we did it tonight because I don't see my predictions, my feelings change between now and Saturday, no matter who else ends up, you know, being announced before the Rumble. If there's an added match, then, you know, it is what it is. But don't forget, right after the Royal Rumble, I will be here live doing a recap, which means no episode of the Don Tony Show Saturday night, but I will be here right after the Rumble. And enjoy the rest of the week, everyone. If I don't see you on Patreon tomorrow, I was thinking about taking Wednesday off, but there's a lot of buzz. People think Johnny Gargano is going to debut in AEW. I'm not so sure. Like, who does he feud with? I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, I don't know where he would fit in. But, hey, anything is possible. You know, especially the contracts allow him to do so much outside of AEW, and that anything is possible with AEW. So we'll see. We'll see. But much love, everyone. Have a great night. And I'll see you all either tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday. or Sunday.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.